Leaders are all around us at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. Today's conversation is between former Waco Mayor Virginia Dupuy and Sandy Sanchez of the Waco Tribune-Herald. This episode was taped April 4th, 2012, in the studios of KWBU-FM.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Sandra Sanchez, Assistant Opinion Editor at the Waco Tribune-Herald, talking today with Virginia Dupuy, Executive Director of the Greater Waco Community Education Alliance. She's also CEO and President of Dupuy Oxygen and former Mayor of Waco. Welcome, Virginia. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
We have a lot to cover. You've done a lot for our community, so let's just get right into this. You were mayor from 2005 to 2010, which was during a time of great economic growth in Waco. It was also when the recession struck us all. How difficult was it to be mayor and to lead our community during that period? And was it like serving through two different eras?
That's an interesting question. Somehow, I don't think that our community, frankly, worried very much about the recession. We were aware of it, but we already had our sights on what we were going to do, what we are doing. At that time, we had already started the community visioning project, which amounted to engaging people throughout the community. We had 13 different meetings in churches and neighborhood association meeting places, and we just were already focused on listening to the community about what they considered the community's priorities to be, which turned out to be five, or we were able to kind of shape them into about five categories: strengthen the heart of the community, increase economic opportunities, engage leaders, enhance life outside the workplace, and develop our distinct advantage. So I think we were so focused on that and engaging people that, yes, we were aware there was a recession going on. It did have an impact in our company, but not so much so that we couldn't keep going. And this is what I was hearing from other business people. When we proceeded with making plans for the bond election, if you remember, we had not passed a bond election for Waco, Texas, in over 40 years. It was time. We needed the money to take on some projects that were very badly needed. And we did that in a similar way, where we appointed 10 leaders who were recognized by everybody in the community. We were very intentional about making certain that we engage people where anyone in the city of Waco would know one of those people, 10 leaders, and then 10 more people working directly with those leaders. We charged them with looking at about 10 or 12 different major projects that we thought should be considered. They went off, had their meetings, and I attended a couple of those meetings. It was very respectfully conducted in a way where everyone was listened to, and ultimately they came back with the recommendations that this is what we think we need to put before the citizens to vote on. And it was kind of interesting. It was almost right the first time they came back. And, of course, we were working against a short timeline because we knew that in May that election would have to take place. And I think this was along about, February, March, and it still wasn't quite right. So we asked them to go back, give it one more look. We felt like the library didn't have quite enough money there in that, but we didn't say that exactly. We just said, take another look, listen to people. And when they came back the second time, the council was able to just say, yes, that's exactly what we'll put on the, although we voted on it, we didn't just say yes, but we voted on it, and that was what was put on the ballot, and indeed it passed. everything that they had recommended passed.
So let me, not to interrupt, but let me, the five tenets that you mentioned are very impressive that you came up with those specific ideas important to our community. And what I'm hearing you say is that really the key was to listen to people and to engage them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know this series is on leadership, but what leadership is really about is to envision something, but the vision not be only your own. It's got to be a community vision, and there everybody sort of sees themselves into a part of that, and then you engage people in helping bring about, letting that vision kind of change and be reshaped as needed, but essentially working out of what you know people really want to have happen.
Now, that takes a certain personality and at the same time a very strong person, but then also somebody humble enough to go, okay, maybe my idea wasn't right for us at this moment.
Yes. On another occasion when I was working with a group to develop a vision and then implement, frankly, part of one of the main pieces of that vision that I wanted, I had to give up. And as the leader, it was very hard, but I knew that ultimately I'd committed to leading that group, and so we decided to go with what everyone essentially said they wanted. And in the process, we didn't lose anyone. We moved forward, and in that case, it was a church vision, and we didn't lose one member in what was ultimately decided to be a move.
Now, today you're serving as the first executive director of the Greater Waco Community Education Alliance, which I know you're very proud of. Tell us about this organization and what you've tried to accomplish since it formed, I believe, in 2008?
Yes, well, it was formalized as an alliance in 2008. Actually, there was about 3 years' work behind that. That was not essentially something that I had set out as a mayor to do. But a group of people came to me and said that we need to do some work on education. And I was rather surprised because I was mayor of the city, which is government. But they said, no, you don't understand. Listen to what we have to say, which we did. I listened along with other people. I brought in some other community leaders that I felt like needed to hear what was being said. And after about a year, we came up with the goals. Essentially, that group came up with the goals, which are very straightforward, not easy to implement. Obviously, it will take years to do this, but essentially it's ensure children are sent to school ready to learn, that they graduate fully prepared, that they pursue their post-secondary goals. And then the bookends to this is engage the community. Only the community can do that in partnership with the educators, and then use metrics to inform decisions. Now, this came out of this original group. We called it the Original Education Committee. They came up with all of that, and we have continued every year. We print that again in the annual report, let people know that continues to be our guide.
So parental involvement and early childhood intervention, they're keys to strong and successful schools and future leaders, right? Is that what you all?
Absolutely. And we were already aware of the issues relative to children being able to read by the third grade, that it really starts at birth where parents are talking with their talking to their children. Obviously, the children are just responding with smiles or sometimes nothing at all, but just talking to the children, talking to them, beginning to listen, encourage them, read to the children, so that when they come into the school, they already know their numbers, they know their colors, they know their name, how to spell their name, some of those simpler things. But that is so helpful to the educators. It's the foundation. And, of course, pre-K now is helping parents do that early education that they need to prepare for school.
So we've talked about some of the leadership boards and councils that you've been on, but in essence, a parent can be a leader by just kind of readying their child for a community.
Absolutely. The parent is essentially the first educator of the child. And equally important are the, you know, the parents, the grandparents, the neighbors, the relatives, the friends, encouraging children along the way, and just helping inform each other about, you know, what resources available or good things for children to do. It's a community issue, essentially. And, of course, what we're trying to do is now at this point we're working with the superintendents. Just as an aside, I'll mention the superintendents in our area have stepped forward and have written a shared vision statement.
We've been talking about your involvement in the Greater Waco Community Education Alliance. And for those who are just joining us, this is KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Sandra Sanchez with the Waco Tribune Herald, talking today with Virginia Dupuy. Now, Virginia, you were talking about some of the insight that your alliance has gotten from several community partners on how best to help educators and help students in our community. You were saying some superintendents in our school district have gotten together to help with this also. Tell us about that.
Okay. I went to Dr. Jerry Mays, who is the executive director of Region 12, who provides a lot of services to our school systems or the school districts. But he also is one of our partners, and I asked him if he thought that the superintendents might be willing to write a vision statement together, to come together, all of the superintendents. You know, we have 17 school districts in our county, but we also have some charter schools, we have private schools, we have a number of different educational entities. But I thought, let's start with the superintendents. Would they be willing to brainstorm and come up with a shared vision? What I was hoping for there is for them to talk about in their heart of hearts, in their mind's eye, what is it they get up every morning going to that school district and working very hard to make happen for the children, the students in their school system. And Region 12 did provide a venue for us to have our first meeting, and I thought they might be a little bit shy or a little bit reluctant to kind of say what they envisioned, and we just kind of had to get out of the way. They were so verbal, so vocal, so passionate, and so clear about what they wanted to have happen. In that meeting, there was an idea that bubbled up that I think ultimately will be implemented, but right now, they were focused on just developing that statement. Dr. John Engelhardt then took that material, worked with some of the superintendents a little further, and came up with a fine, polished document that now, at this point, I believe there are 9 of the superintendents who have taken this vision to their boards. Their boards have endorsed that vision statement, and there are others that are still working on that. The really amazing news is that I think we sometimes think that superintendents just, you know, think about the Friday night football game and being, you know, competitive or worried about where the football player's going to go to school. They are much more deeply committed to what happens with the school systems across our community. And to that end, they are working together.
Now, for those listening, you're missing out. You're not here in the studio with me as I see Virginia squinching her eyes and pounding her fist on the desk, and she is as passionate, I think, as these superintendents are. How frustrating must it be for you when you preface this at the beginning by saying, we know it's going to take several years to do? It sounds like you wanted this yesterday. How do you, as a leader, put the brakes on and have patience?
It's not like I ever have to put the brakes on, because there is always something moving forward. I'll learn about a particular initiative that's going on in this school system, or I'll learn about what CIS is doing, Community and Schools is doing with mentors. I'll learn about parent groups that are meeting. I'll listen to people like say Gary Moore and the housing district and the kind of programs that they're doing there. There is so much happening in our community that I have much more of a sense of just working to help us pull this together. I have the benefit of people telling me a lot of about their good work, extraordinary work that's going on in the city. But other people don't get to hear that. That's why we have this annual summits, so that we can engage people in listening and asking questions. And when the superintendents, I think much to their surprise, made their presentation on the school funding cuts and what they were having to do, they said, "We were so surprised at the people who came and the intelligent questions they were asking." And people in this community are really interested in what we're doing and what we're working on. I think that that summit is terribly important in terms of engaging people, keeping people thinking about it, informing.
And the summit is every summer?
No, every November.
Every fall.
Yes, it is always the week. The week before the Thanksgiving week, we are now doing it. We had been doing it on a Friday morning. This year, we're doing it on Wednesday afternoon into Wednesday evening. We'll continue the same format as the big banquet, and then Thursday will be about breakout sessions.
So this is open to the public, and they should come.
Absolutely. We love having the public come because this is a way to hear directly from the educators, the nonprofits, the congregations. It's the way to hear from leaders throughout our community, Baylor, MCC, TSDC, what they're doing to educate and prepare young people for the workplace.
Now, I hear that this might be your last year leading this group, that you had originally said you were going to kind of steer it for 5 years and then turn it over. Could this November be your last?
Oh, no. We said we committed to 5 years. But now we're going to keep going. Those summits are not going to discontinue. We'll have a big celebration this year because it is our fifth, but the summits will continue, and we'll continue to do parent meetings. We're having one this summer for parents. Rita Pearson is going to come again and talk directly with parents. She came last year. She was so strong, and the parents loved what they heard, learned from what they heard, were encouraged by her. So we're bringing her back this summer.
Well, as we all know, currently WISD is undergoing restructuring under the leadership of Dr. Bonnie Kane. Several schools are being closed, students bused to other campuses. Not all of this is going over well with the public, but there's a budget deficit that we have to contend with. How do you as a leader explain to the public to get them on board with changes like this that greatly impact them?
Well, for one thing, I think Bonnie Kane is just a tremendous superintendent, a tremendous leader. She has had 15 years experience as a superintendent coming in and in a very, very fine school district that was very successful. She is so committed to being here and doing everything she can to promote excellence in every part of the campus, all of the campuses, excellence in the classrooms. They're having to make some very difficult choices and work with reduced resources. But I don't think there's any reduced resource in terms of leadership in WISD. I think we're going to see some really extraordinary work coming into that school district this coming year. There has been this year, and it's going to be even better next year.
There's an old saying that great leaders shine brighter during more difficult times.
Absolutely. That's where you learn how to be creative, learn how to be innovative about looking at your resources more carefully. And, you know, she's had a wonderful opportunity, along with the board, to look very carefully at everything they're doing throughout the system. And in that way, they're going to come out with a stronger, better product.
If you're just joining me today, this is Sandra Sanchez of the Waco Tribune-Herald, talking today with former Mayor Virginia Dupuy on KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. Now, Virginia, your son, Carrie Dupuy, is also highly involved. He's on currently serving on the Waco ISD School Board. So did he catch that public service bug from you?
how does one know? All people are something of a mystery, and Carr and Carrie are my business partners, and I think that the fact that he has his three children in the school district and is very involved, and his wife Mandy is very involved, they've just been engaged for some time. I think the decision was probably separate and apart, but I'm very proud of him and very grateful. He's taking it very seriously, and I'm proud of him.
Now, you mentioned that they're your partners. I wanted to say that aside from community service, you are president and CEO of Dupuy Oxygen since 1985. So you're a businesswoman in this community.
Yes, yes, I am. But I think that one of the things about being in business that I learned early on, that if you're really good at what you do, you're always working your way out of a job. You spot talent. You find that talent in different places. You never know exactly where you're going to discover someone. But we also have a system where people in the company can spot talent themselves and bring them in to the company. If they do that, then there's a financial reward for that. But that way, we've been able to build a strong company in seven locations in Central Texas with good managers. And now you're going to get me into just out and out bragging about them. But I'm so proud of the people that work in our company. And they and my sons are the only reason that I was able to serve as mayor. They freed me. They covered for me. They found me when they really needed me, but they kept things going.
Aside from your company, I wanted to let listeners have a little idea a bit of some of the boards you've also served on. You were on the YMCA board, including its president, in the early 90s. You served on the boards of TSTC, MCC, Waco Chamber of Commerce, Heart of Texas Workforce Development, Waco Business League. You're currently on the boards of, let me get this correct, the Waco Foundation, the Providence Foundation, and the Cooper Foundation.
Well, actually, the Waco Foundation, I was on the board there for about 4 years, but I'm now on the Cooper Foundation board. I really treasured my experience with the Waco Foundation. I came to understand it at a very deep and important level. That's a very important organization and a foundation that serves this community well, charged with growing over the years. By law, that foundation must continue to expand and grow. The Cooper Foundation is a very different organization. It was set up by Madison Cooper, and I've been there now, I believe, a little over 10 years.
Let me ask you, what's left for you now? Are there any uncharted boards that you have not tapped into? Where do you see yourself going?
I feel like that at this point, what I really want to make certain happens is that we continue to build and grow the alliance, not as a bureaucracy, but as a partnership of organizations. I'm also working with the Downtown Waco and River Development Corporations, and that's going to be an important piece for this community as well, serving on that board.
Well, something you had strived to do was development of both sides of the river during your term, correct?
Absolutely. And
how are we doing on that?
Well, I think that development is very hard to have happen without significant financial investments from private investors. That's a piece of it. Now, we have, though, we have a fire station there now that's a beautiful foundation. There continues to be work on the Quinn campus, and there are plans for the Doris Miller Memorial that is going to be on the other side of the river. There's just a lot that's going to be happening, and frankly, technically, the Baylor Stadium that's being planned is on the east side of the river as well.
I would be remiss if I didn't, since you mentioned Baylor. You are a Baylor grad, and we're actually speaking the day after the Lady Bears have won the national championship, so you must be very proud. And what does something like this do for our community as far as recognition?
Well, I think it's just amazing that to find and I repeat, very fine young people are such extraordinary athletes, which has positioned them with their amazing coaches, really good coaches, has positioned them to cause the whole country to be aware of what's going on at Baylor University, and which is housed in Waco, Texas. Baylor's home is Waco, so it's been a tremendous plus. But I think along with that, we've got to remember that they are working under significant leaders. President Starr is an extraordinary leader. In fact, throughout our community, I think we have the most amazing, extraordinary leaders that our community has ever seen in our hospitals, in our foundations, in our three institutions of higher education. There is enormous collaboration going on. In city government, we could not be in a finer place as far as this community goes. And then to have these two fine young people be where they are, speaking as they do with such credibility, personal discipline, and then academic performance. It doesn't get much better than Brittany Griner and RG3.
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Before I let you go, we are in an election year. We are going to elect a new mayor this year. So what issues do you now as a private citizen want them to tackle or see the need to do for our community?
Well, I really trust the new mayor is going to stay very, very focused on the greater downtown area and the development of the river. That is hugely important for Baylor. It's important for MCC. It's important for all citizens in the greater downtown area on both sides of the river. And I think that everything is aligned to make that happen. And I trust that the new mayor is going to take that banner and just go for it.
And he or she should know that Virginia Dupuy is watching. Virginia, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today at our KWBU Leadership Series. This is Sandra Sanchez of the Waco Tribune Herald. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
This episode was taped April 4th, 2012, in the studios of KWBU-FM.